Last Word on Business.
With Forvis Mazars. Professional services redefined. Delivering global insights and local expertise. Visit forvismazars.ie.
Ian Guider from the Business Post is here for the review of the business year. We have so much to actually talk about. I don't know really where to start, but you know where I'm going to start? Dublin Airport, because I suspect this could be one of the business stories and greater economic stories that will dominate the headlines throughout 2025 as much as it did in 2024.
It did. This is probably the thing we spoke most about during the year, because the Dublin Airport Authority breaching the cap again this year for passenger numbers in 2024 of 32 million. And we spoke about it throughout the year and nobody did anything about it at government level. Eamon Ryan, the Transport Minister, said he couldn't interfere in a planning matter because it was to do with Fingal County Council, saying that Dublin Airport couldn't exceed 32 million passengers. You had the airlines in America warning about the dangers of breaching this cap or not extending the cap, that they would have to pull out services. You had Aer Lingus and Ryanair mounting a high court challenge, which they were successful in doing, stopping the regulator removing airport slots. But this is still not resolved. The Dublin Airport Authority only submitted the new planning application to lift the cap to 40 million a few weeks ago.
See, there's also a Trojan horse element about this as well, in that environmentalists are saying, oh, it's all about, you have to observe the planning in relation to cars going into the airport. These were regulations put in place back in 1987 or something, or years back, whatever, so many, many years ago. They're not really relevant to where we're at now. And even if you say for environmental reasons, we should be limiting the traffic, the traffic is growing all over the world. There are new airports being built all over Asia, India, China. There's a massive expansion in global aviation. Are we going to, for the sake of a couple of million passengers that will make damn all difference, hobble ourselves economically?
Yeah, and that's what some people say. Like, how on earth can we compete internationally as a country for jobs and investment if we won't allow people to get in and off the island? Because we are an island economy. Most of our freight may come through ports, but most of the people come through the airport. And you also have to look at what's happening as well. We have to bring in workers from abroad to fill in lots of the jobs, not just in multinational companies, but in things like meat factories and the health service. We rely on people to come in, and those people are entitled to get out as well, to go home and see their families. But this could still take a number of years to be resolved with the planners. It could take 2 years before Fingal County Council make a decision. That could go to the High Court. What I've been hearing is, will there be an effort in the new programme for government? I think behind the scenes, a lot of people will be pushing the next government to, let's just put in a statutory instrument or a piece of legislation through that will take this away, designate it as a critical piece of infrastructure and take it away from Fingal County Council.
I suspect that may well happen. But the other aviation stories of the year, Aer Lingus pilot strike cost 50 million euro to the airline. But I've been talking to people in the tourism trade and the restaurant sector who say that it had a big impact on their summer takings as well.
It did. And yet there was only one morning of an actual strike. The rest of it was a work to rule, which meant pilots wouldn't work overtime.
It affected bookings.
It affected loads of their flights on at the time, because Aer Lingus had to scramble around and rearrange passengers. But a lot of people do get put off, because if you don't know if a strike or industrial action is going to end, you're not going to book with it. I'm told that it was a sluggish year for American visitors coming to Ireland. They are high-spending people. They traditionally come in on Aer Lingus and they spend a lot of money around the country. They fly into Dublin, but they go all across the country on tours. And that has an impact on hotels, on attractions, and even like golf courses mightn't have had a big busy summer.
I think they're hopeful, though, for next year, on the basis that with the dollar so strong against the euro, that people in America will see value in coming over. And you will get things like, almost certainly there's going to be an NFL game added in Croke Park next September with the Pittsburgh Steelers, on top of the college's American football coming in August. So there are going to be these events that hopefully will draw people in from the United States.
Yeah, and it will need it, because we have seen figures separately this year. The retail sales figures show that bar sales are down. We have one big hotel company in this country, Dalata, the owner of Clayton and Maldron. It's making a ton load of money, but the rest of the hotel industry, the restaurants industry, the publicans are all saying it's a difficult time out there.
And then also in aviation, Ryanair continued to be highly successful, arguably Ireland's most successful company, but even its growth was hobbled to an extent, wasn't it, by failures of Boeing?
Yeah, It is the biggest airline in Europe. It is the most profitable airline in the world. It's also the biggest airline by market value on the stock market. But the big problem it has, getting those new Boeing planes, which they can carry more passengers, they're more fuel efficient, so therefore they can be more profitable. And if they are more profitable, the share price goes up and Michael O'Leary gets a 100 million euro bonus. That didn't happen. We had a couple of times this year, Ryanair coming out and saying, those dozens of planes we're expecting to get from Boeing, it's not going to happen. We're going to have to push it out because of course, what happened back in January, a panel blew off in midair from an Alaskan Airlines Boeing 737 MAX jet, and that meant that fleet of planes had to be grounded as there were safety inspections. Boeing's production capacity was cut right down. Its chief executive bit the bullet during the summer because just one too many mishaps with Boeing over the last number of years, not just with the 737, but also with a redesign of the 777. So they've brought in a new executive team, an engineer, a guy called Kelly Ortberg, to try and turn things around. They have announced in Boeing recently production is now getting back up to capacity, but if you're an airline and its biggest customer in Europe for Ryanair, you ain't going to get those planes in time for next summer's holiday season.
Let's talk about the banks a little bit. Today, even just today, has not been a good day for Bank of Ireland. They had to do a 45 million euro settlement with former executives at Davy, the stockbroking firm that they bought. I think the app was out of action again today, not the first time this year that people have had difficulties with actually doing their transactions online because of a faulty internet system that they have. And overall, the share price of Bank of Ireland went up by a very small amount this year by comparison with AIB, which went up by a multiple of that. What's going on with the two main Irish banks?
I think the issue for Bank of Ireland, they've got an issue in the UK in relation to motor finance, where there would have been a big player in car loans, and it's around advice that all of the lenders over there probably didn't give the customers, and they're facing potentially big redress. Some could be even bigger than the tracker mortgage scandal. The banks are coining it on money. I'm sure Charlie Weston has been like me, Matt, and saying you're a mug for leaving all of the 130 odd billion on deposit with the banks, because they're making money off of you just leaving that money on deposit, paying nothing, because they're getting money from the European Central Bank. The banks are not even lending a whole lot extra to the economy. Credit growth in Ireland, it's low single digit at best. But as I said, they're hoovering up profits, 2 billion euro each in 2023. They've said they'll make, AIB and Bank of Ireland will make the same this year. And that's all because the European Central Bank deposit rate, they got it at 4%, and they're letting you get away with paying zero on your current account because most people won't switch over. Is that changing? The Bank of the European Central Bank have cut their deposit rate. The banks haven't changed their own deposit rates yet out there. They've lowered their mortgage rates a little bit. So their profits in the next year or so might come down a bit. But it's all due to people at home. We are financing the massive profits these banks are making by simply leaving salaries and savings sitting in a current account earning nothing.
Now, something else that we nearly all pay for is RTE through the licence fee that most of us pay, although there's a significant amount of people who no longer do. If the pay scandal at the Late Late Show and Ryan Tuberty dominated in 2023, this rumbled all into 2024 when it came to the refinancing of RTE. And in the end, 725 million committed for the next 3 years in financing for RTE. But do you get a sense that now in RTE it's gone business as normal, back to business as usual, whereas actually, if you look at the way media is changing globally and the crisis that is facing terrestrial television in particular all over the world, that this is head in the sand stuff by comparison to what's really, really going on internationally?
Yeah, absolutely. RTE finally got a settlement out of the government, and the media minister, Catherine Martin, said they would get 725 million in guaranteed revenue over the next 4 years. That will make up for the shortfall in licence fee income and the struggles facing the advertising. In return, RTE were meant to do lots of things, like cut costs, cut 400 jobs over 4 years. There was meant to be 40 this year. They haven't done that because they haven't got sign off for the redundancy package from the government to pay staff to leave. They've said they'll outsource the Late Late Show production and Fair City production. That hasn't happened. There's been a few departures from RTE from the screens, but they are people who are coming to the end of their careers in RTE and are naturally retiring. We've seen no changes in RTE, talking about putting more things on the player first, more investment. We haven't really seen it. And as you said, the global media industry is struggling. If you look at the big American networks, there's a huge amount of consolidation going on. Some of them are being bought over for ridiculously low values. The big American companies are looking at even selling some of their cable networks because the audience is switching off to people like Netflix, Disney, HBO Max, all of the other streaming services. And we're not getting people to turn on the TV to watch shows at a fixed point in time. And RTE are existing in this. Well, we're fine now. We've got our license fee.
There's a vital public service been fulfilled.
There are things put up on RTE that are repeats of shows that are available elsewhere. I'm a big fan of RTE News, as Matt. I know all you and I know every presenter and journalist out there, but you can't have 1,800 people anymore on RTE reliant on the rest of the country paying for it.
You see how things change. I don't think anyone really, if you'd gone back 3 or 4 years ago, would have expected Intel to be in the depths of trouble that it's in now. In fact, everyone was looking at the fact that it was building a massive new manufacturing facility, same builders as the National Children's Hospital, but at least it was getting done out in league slip, unlike at the hospital. And now Intel is in the depths. And it seems that if it wasn't for the fact that it's so important to the American government to actually have its own native chip manufacturer, I'm not sure Intel will be around.
This is a very important company to Ireland. It employs about 5,000 people directly. Thousands of others in the supply chain rely on it. The economy around Leakslip, where it's based, relies on it. And it's like a mini city down there, such as the scale of these buildings. But the company globally is suffering. It's missed the boat twice on new technology. It was offered a chance over a decade ago to make the chips for the iPhone, and it passed on it. And then it seemed to have missed the new boom in technology, which is making chips for artificial intelligence things like ChatGPT. And it's nowhere on it. It's a big company.
NVIDIA is now the world's biggest company.
30-odd times the value of Intel in the space of 2 years. Intel is reporting losses. It let go of 15,000 people, including voluntary redundancy here in Ireland. And the reason I said it's important, not just for the jobs that are high paying, it's the biggest exporter of technology equipment out of Ireland to other places around the world and back to America for these chips. So it's vitally important for exports, jobs here in Ireland, and it is suffering, and there's a chief executive gone, and they don't even seem to know, are they going to be able to catch up with NVIDIA? Because all of these tech companies are buying the chips years in advance from NVIDIA. They could sell their chips over and over again, and Intel is not at the races. It's trying to do a thing where it says, well, look, never mind buying our chips. Use our factories to make your own, and we'll just produce them for you. And that's what it's done in Ireland. That new Fab 34 building, as it's called, huge thing. It was opened by Leo Varadkar in 2023. They've sold a stake in that for $11 billion to an American investment fund, and they're hoping that's the future.
Of course, something else, this was, if the theme of the year in many respects was artificial intelligence, AI, wasn't it? Because the stocks that climbed on Wall Street were the ones where it's perceived that they would be driven by AI. So it's your big tech firms, your Microsoft, Google, Facebook and Amazon, although they are spending colossal sums of money in what's a sort of an AI arms race.
Yeah, they are spending the GDP of mid-sized countries now every single quarter, not every year, every quarter. The likes of Microsoft are spending 15, 20 billion on buying these chips, building data centers around the world. Google are doing the same. Amazon are doing the same. It's in this belief that artificial intelligence will be the new industrial revolution, that it won't just be a chatbot to tell you, give me a good recommendation for a restaurant, that it will do all sorts of things for you. It'll be able to speed up work processes, get rid of some jobs, also that we'll use it for different things. We'll create movies and music with it. And they're putting this investment down up front. Nobody's actually come up with a great product that we can use on our phone with it. ChatGPT is a little bit of fun if you pay for the newer version of it. But all of these chatbots have huge amounts of errors in them. And are they really that revolutionary?
Yes. That they may actually
be the
big thing.
Will they replace us? Will robots replace us?
Well, see, and also then you wonder, is there going to be the regulation of them? Certainly in the United States, given that the business person of the year is somebody that we're both very sceptical about his motivation and his methods, and that's Elon Musk, who has, on the basis of $250 billion investment in Donald Trump, is now worth, what was it, actually, $250 billion or something he's believed to have spent in relation to getting Trump elected. His net worth has gone up by a multiple of that.
He's pretty much gone up, seen a 50% increase in his wealth this year. He's worth now over $400 million. Tesla, one of his biggest companies, valued at $1.4 trillion, up 50% since Donald Trump's election on November the 5th. That's fueling Elon Musk's wealth. His investment in SpaceX is going up as well. I don't know what Twitter is worth now because people are fleeing the site in droves, but he is the biggest player in the world. What has he done this year? Well, he's unveiled a new robo-taxi, a cyber cab, as he's calling it, a driverless car. That's all he's done.
Smoke and mirrors. The figures wrong. It was $250 million he spent. That's a much better deal.
But his proximity to Donald Trump has fueled the belief that the companies he's an investor in and a backer of are going to be worth an absolute fortune. I've said Tesla just can't really justify the current valuation, but SpaceX, you'd have to believe, given that it's the only rocket ship that can get people to the space station and back, could be worth a lot of money. But he is the most influential, even if his fortune wasn't worth what it was, just his proximity and the businesses he is in has made him the most influential business person, Matt, not just right now, I think actually in history.
You see, sometimes, you know, we get sneered at for being sceptical, but there are times when you're right to be sceptical. And I'll just give you one example. I'd be careful how I say that, but Press Up Group, which owned lots of pubs and restaurants in Dublin, for a long, long time, business journalists who were listening to their rivals and hearing stories were wondering, how long can this continue as it's going? And we got our answer this year when it ended up being taken over to save itself from its financial position.
Yeah, there are very few streets in the centre of Dublin that doesn't have one of the Press Up bars, restaurants, cinemas, or even hotels on it. Now, the hotels were sold separately, but this year, Press Up Group, founded by Paddy McKillen Jr. and Matt Ryan, it sold a stake to a British company called Cheney Group, who actually end up taking over control of the entire business and have started to sell off some of the pubs around Dublin, sell off and close some of the restaurants, hand back some of the franchises that they had. And also, Matt, this is a sign of the wider hospitality industry facing difficulties.
And just a couple of other things we should mention. One that was done very recently, but Kerry Group selling its dairy business back to the farmers. It's sort of outgrown it, I suppose, hasn't it?
I just think this is amazing. I mentioned this yesterday in the business news. €1.4 billion is being handed back to around 12,000 people in the county of Kerry through the sale of their shares.
They're going to have a good Christmas, aren't they?
It's worth $120,000 on average. There'll be other people who make a lot of money. They started a very successful Irish company 40 odd years ago, and they're reaping the benefits of it now and getting this cash, getting control of their original dairy company. And as I said, a fortune, tax-free fortune underway to thousands of people. They're canny down in the kingdom.
And then on the other side of it, the sale of the former Quinn Group.
Yeah, a big deal for the backers of Quinn Group. It's mostly private equity, but some local business people took control of the Quinn industrial assets. So cement manufacturing, plastics recycling, sold this year after a very difficult time for around $500 million to a Turkish company. And that company was in difficulty a number of years ago. And those local people took control of it, suffered horrendously attacks, vicious assaults on them, but have made a bit of money out of it.
Okay, listen, Ian Guider, we're out of time, unfortunately. I know you're writing about all of these things and much more for the Business Post on Sunday. I'm looking after the obituaries as it happens, because the very high profile figures, significant figures in Irish business for decades, like Tony O'Reilly and Eddie O'Connor, died in this year. So I'll be writing about those over the next 2 weeks in the Business Post. But again, thank you for all of your contributions throughout the year here on The Last Word at Today FM.
The Last Word on Today FM.